Mormons, there's two major groups of Mormons. One is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The headquarters are in Salt Lake City. So that's the most prominent one you'll see. So that's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The second group is called the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So the main, and the second group, the reorganized group, does not like to be called Mormons. So if someone is willing to accept that name, Mormon, they'll probably be from Salt Lake City, Utah, their headquarters. And the reorganized group is from Independence, Missouri. That's their headquarters. So they encourage their young people to be missionaries, to volunteer for two-year terms. That's why normally when you see missionaries going door to door, it's always two young men normally. But they do encourage young ladies who, young men, they encourage them at the age of 19 to sign up for 2 years. And they encourage young ladies at the age of 21 to sign up for 2 years. I'm not sure what they have the young ladies do. I don't know if they go door to door too or not. Mormons and health. Years ago, there were two singers, Donnie and Marie Osmond. Have you ever heard that name? Okay. It goes back a ways, but they were a very prominent family and they were Mormons. And so it got brought up about Mormons caution against use of tobacco or alcohol. And they also caution against the use of anything with caffeine. So tea, coffee, pop, soda pop, anything with caffeine in it. Now, I don't know if they are really that strict on that anymore or not. But they used to be back in the 80s, 70s and 80s. So the Mormons are kind of looked at as like health conscious, family oriented, which appeals to some people. That's how they get seduced, enticed into it. And dancing, they dance. They have prayer before and after their dances. So whatever that means. They're encouraged to tithe. Mormon temples. The temples are reserved. Now, there's a Mormon church in town here, but it's not a temple. The temples are reserved for celestial marriages. So that's another error in their doctrine. They believe that, you know, you're building your family here for eternity. And of course, that's they don't like to admit it, but that was one of the reasons for their multiple wives, is they're building their eternal family. Still, a lot of that goes on out west in Utah. So the temple is reserved for their celestial marriages, sealings, proxy baptisms, ordinances for the dead, sacred endowment rituals. Their temples are forbidden for Gentiles to enter. So that's us, non-Mormons. Non-Mormons are Gentiles. So we're forbidden to go into their temples. Mormons get involved in sports, hobbies, dramatic plays, music. The Tabernacle Choir? I think that's what it's called, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. There's been many prominent people that have been Mormons. Michigan here had a governor that was a Mormon, George Romney, back quite a few years ago when I was younger. He was a Mormon. There are many Mormons in the political realm today, senators, probably congressmen. Glenn Beck, the radio personality, he's a Mormon. There were many people There were many Christians that went to Washington, D.C. I think it probably was when President Obama, or maybe it was before President Obama was elected. Glenn Beck was very prominent on radio, conservative radio, and he held a rally in Washington, D.C., encouraging people to come. And a lot of Christians went. And I heard excerpts of that rally later on, and Glenn Beck got up and was speaking about the Book of Mormon. I mean, telling things in it and encouraging the people. So it's like, that was a bad situation for Christians to do, was to put themselves in that big rally under a Mormon personality trying to teach the Book of Mormon to all those people. So, the founder is Joseph Smith Jr. He was the founder of Mormonism. He was born in Sharon, Vermont, 2 days before Christmas in 1805. Sharon, Vermont. He was a mystic. He liked searching for buried treasure. You know, there's nothing wrong for a hobby of treasure hunting. I mean, people do all kinds of things for hobbies. My dad had a metal detector, and it really never got to be much of a hobby for him, but he had one nonetheless. He found a few things. I used it. He told me where some old houses used to be and that were torn down many years ago, and I went to those places and found some things. My wife and I, about a year after we were married, bought a piece of land. And I don't know if it was my dad or my grandfather told me that on that parcel right about where we were going to put a mobile home, there used to be a house many years ago. So I got out my dad's metal detector. I found a couple old axe heads. They're buried. Buttons. All kinds of iron, steel. Old stuff like you'd find around a farm. I found buried. So, you know, it's one thing to do that. I know, actually, he used to be one of my pastors when I was a boy, but he had a hobby of metal detecting, and he would go on the beaches after they were cleared out, and he would find rings and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, that's one thing, to have just a hobby, something to do. But with Joseph Smith Jr., he used what were called peep stones. And so it's like a method of divination. So he would try to divine by these peep stones where there would be buried treasure. Well, that's not the same thing as a metal detector. One is using the scientific method of finding metals, and the other is just, well, can be demonic. And so he was known for that, being a mystic and searching for buried treasure. You can waste a lot of time searching for buried treasure. So he's born there 2 days before Christmas, 1805. And then at 15 years old, he claimed to receive a vision from an angel he called Moroni. Actually, that was in 23, excuse me. At 15 years of age, let me back up here. He said, God the Father and Jesus Christ appeared to him and told him they were not happy with the Christian church. And they said they were calling him, Smith, to launch the restoration of true Christianity. So that's what the Mormon church claims to be. They claim that the church had gotten way off track from what God intended, and so they were restoring true Christianity to the earth. So that was at 15 years old. He claims to have had that vision. And then in 1823, so 3 years later, at 18, he claimed to have a vision, and he saw this angel, and he called the angel Moroni. This vision was at his bedside. He claimed his bed was quaking. And then 4 years after that, so when he was 22, Joseph Smith claimed to receive the golden plates. He claimed on these golden plates, there was reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. And that's a whole nother story. People who actually do read hieroglyphics have scoffed at what he claims here. But anyway, he says he unearthed these golden plates, and this was when he was 22. It said in the hill Cumorah near Palmyra, New York. And so from those plates, those golden plates, he supposedly translated the Book of Mormon. So it reminds us really of what we've been looking at in another class in Galatians. But let's look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. And we'll start here in verse 6. Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or what? An angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So it's the warning here about visions, about angels, trying to tell us there's another gospel. So all of this based on visions. Earlier this morning, I had a dream. It seemed really real until I woke up. So people and their visions, you can't trust people and their visions. Now, when you look at it, so he claims to have gotten the Book of Mormon from these golden plates. And when you consider his background of being a mystic and a treasure hunter, always digging for years, digging and digging, trying to find treasure. And then he comes up with this religion that is, oh, I had this vision, this angel. Well, first, God the Father and Jesus Christ came to me and told me that all these churches are wrong, and I want to restore the true church, and I want to use you to do it. And so then a little later, this angel appears unto him, tells him about these golden plates that are buried. So, you know, I mean, that's what he's been searching for, is treasure. And so it's just, you know, it's like a bad nightmare is what this whole thing is. And so he finds these golden plates. And then what's more is the angel gives him some special glasses that he has to use to read the plates so he can interpret it and translate it and write it down in English. So he has these special miraculous glasses the angel gives to him. And he calls it the Urim and the Thummim, like in the Old Testament. So when you consider all of this, it's a young man in his dreams and his visions. I wish I could bring up on their website, then I'll have to try to work on it, on this. But it's interesting. On their website, I was looking at it, it's www.comeuntochrist.org and then beliefs. And when you bring up that page, they have four books that they look to. One is the Book of Mormon. One is the Doctrine and Covenants. The third one is Pearl of Great Price. And the fourth one is the Bible. But what's interesting is there's I think there was maybe nine graphics, but the first one was about Jesus. The next comes the Book of Mormon, and next comes the Bible. So the Bible is placed down from the Book of Mormon. And that reminds us of Mark chapter 7. we've looked at this many times, and this is exactly what happens in Mark chapter 7. And verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. So back in verse 7, I mean, that's exactly what they've done right on their website. So if you, excuse me, suppose that this was the Book of Mormon and this is the Bible, they put the Book of Mormon first and then the Bible. And I was reading on their website, their president of the Mormon Church right now, he had an address recently, and in that, I don't know if he quoted from the Bible, but it seemed like there was several quotes from the Book of Mormon. So anyway, if you put anything on the same level as the Bible is going to become second and then cast right aside. So that's what we see right here. Verse 8, laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. So laying aside the Bible, they hold the Book of Mormon. Verse 9, and he said to them, full well, you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. With the two Mormon boys that came to my house, that's what I found, is I started refuting them with the Word of God. And then they said, at the end, they said, you can't trust, you know, the King James Bible, because it was just translated by men. Well, what was the Book of Mormon translated by? One man with a special pair of glasses. It wasn't trained in any language other than maybe English. I don't know. I've never read that he learned any other language, let alone reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. So that's the situation with them. And it's that way with all of these different cults. They all substitute the Bible. It's not really their authority at all, and that's why they get into trouble. But let's look at just a few things about their beliefs and try to get into it more next time. So the Book of Mormon is like, it's like it plagiarizes a lot of the Bible. It's like, you can tell that whoever wrote it, you know, had read the Bible, and it's like they're intermingling stuff and kind of making up a bunch of more things. So it's kind of like the Book of Mormon is kind of like the history of America that doesn't match up with any history at all, true history of what was going on here. And then the mistakes in it, like, let's go to Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2. It says, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So you see here that it's prophesied that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. And then if we jump over to let's see here. In Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, what? in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So it was in Bethlehem. The interesting thing is they don't finish the verse in Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That was proving that Jesus is God, but they did not quote that part there. They left that part off. They just said, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So that was the thing they did not see, was that he was God. So anyway, in the Book of Mormon, the Bible here in Micah 5:2 says he's going to be born in Bethlehem, and shows us it once again in Matthew 2. But the Book of Mormon, one of their books in the Book of Mormon is called Alma, and they kind of use chapter and verses like the Bible does. In Alma 7, 9, and 10, it states, the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth, and behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem. So, I mean, there's just a simple contradiction right there. In the Book of Mormon, it's saying Jesus is going to be born in Jerusalem instead of Bethlehem. So it contradicts the scriptures. And there's lots of other contradictions we'll look at. Okay, well, for today I think we'll stop right there, and we'll pick up on some more of their false doctrine here. So okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.